Let's see if this is Brad Stein. Brad.
What is you guys doing?
We are partying, man. We're missing you.
In the morning, I'm sitting here sleeping in my underpants, trying to get a good night. I am a comic.
Thanks for the visual.
Yes, and I trust me, it's a visual I don't even want to think about. But
are you in Hawaii or something?
Yeah, I mean, where are you?
10 o'clock.
We are actually on a different time frame than you are. Where are you guys located? Because I'm in Bangkok.
Nice. We're in Fort Lauderdale.
Woohoo!
Oh, okay.
Hurry up and get down here.
I'm actually heading out on a small ship to get back to you guys for tomorrow's show.
Nice.
Probably I should get moving, I'm thinking.
You better pack.
So. Yeah.
You better pack.
Didn't they used to say, God don't make no junk? But anyway, maybe
in Bangkok?
You better take a quick type of ship.
At this point, a kayak, whatever it takes to get moving towards Fort Lauderdale.
I'm thinking you need the Concorde, okay?
Yeah, I think the Concorde doesn't exist anymore.
It retired. I like the word Concorde. I was trying to work it into a sentence.
I think we all really secretly like the word Concorde, but I'm glad you brought it up.
Sure. Hey, Brad, how long have you been in comedy?
How long have I been in comedy?
Yeah.
There's some people who would think I still really haven't actually ever been in comedy. But I think I've been doing it since full time, since 1988.
Wow.
So that puts me into, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, about 25 years.
Dinosaur. You're a comedic dinosaur. That's awesome.
I am a dinosaur. I'm a fossil. I start out in comedy clubs as people do and in doing college tours but over time I just realized that I had a point of view that not only didn't endear me with the Hollywood people but in fact infuriated them. And so I realized, all right, I'm not going to get a sitcom, but perhaps there's a big group of Americans that might appreciate what I have to say in a funny way. And that's kind of where my career took off. And since 2004, when the New Yorker did an article on me and they called me God's comic, I've kind of taken that moniker and ran with it and said, okay, I'll be that. I'll be the guy that lifts up God and country and tears down political correctness anytime he can. So with that in mind, come on out, see the show, have fun, and have your faith dignified while laughing all the way to this wonderful radio station that we're going to defend and protect so that we continue to have our point of view somewhere in the ethers in America.
Well, that's good. And in fact, I want to report to everybody that there is not an FCC monitor inside this studio, not yet at least. And so we are doing our part to make sure that that doesn't happen. Thank you, Brad. I appreciate this. And so you make a living, actually, telling jokes.
Being funny. Isn't that awesome?
That is
terrific. And again, that's speculative.
It's subjective, right? Some people say, yeah.
Whatever living means.
You're not living in a van down by the river.
I also make a living as an actor. I have a film coming out in theaters nationwide May 9th called Persecuted, which is something that I'm excited about. I co-star and associate produced. And write books and do blogs and was a social commentator on the Fox and Friends for 6 months on every Monday. So, you know, I've always sort of had my hands dipped into numerous pies and trying to sort of do what I do, like I said, from a Christian conservative point of view, but hopefully funny and intelligent and fresh and artistically sound so that people from our point of view can actually enjoy comedy the way they should. That's intellectually sound, but also doesn't pull any punches. So that's kind of what I do, and that's why they're bringing me here. You're not bringing me here because I'm already here, but you're bringing me there, and I'll be there tomorrow.
We're bringing you here to us.
You are going to bring me there.
Yes, I get to open for you, Brad. I'm pretty excited about that.
It is, yes. I appreciate it. And I'm excited because I was there last year. Was it last year?
Late 2012, I think.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Well, when I say last year, I meant 2012. That's how I work. You see, I have Common Core mathematics that I use.
I see.
So basically, whatever I say is right, and there is no wrong answer. You should know that by now.
Right. Right.
Very nice.
Well, it's like the old line from Tom Lehrer that base 8 is just like base 10 if you're missing two fingers. All right. So tomorrow night, you will be speaking, and Christine Snieringer will be speaking, all clean comedy.
Absolutely.
And the goal is to promote gracenetradio.com. What time is it?
The show starts at 7:30, and I go on at 7:35, so get in and get your seat.
Okay, all right.
I know everybody wants to come here, Brad, but, you know, hey, I'm coming
to hear Christine.
There
frankly.
You go. Awesome.
I've heard me.
So all my friends are coming to hear me too.
So I really want to hear Christine because I'm frankly tired of hearing me. I want to hear somebody else.
Hey, Brad, this is Jerry speaking. Did you tell me?
Well, he wasn't sure if it was Christine when you said that.
Well, that's true.
Oh, yes, exactly. Thank you, Jerry.
Sure. No, listen.
For clarifying the difference between the female and the male.
Sure. I've worked for 29 years now and am still there with the legacy ministry of the late Dr. D. James Kennedy. And somewhere along the lines, I picked up the idea that you watch Dr. Kennedy. You've seen him before and like the message that he's had to say. And by the way, speaking of politically correctness, he has definitely stood against that for years.
Yes. No, I actually was I don't know, fan is the good is a word to use for a preacher of God's holy writ, but I was very much inspired by him. He was a throwback, frankly, from what America's original intent was that the First Amendment, first line, was designed for one purpose and one purpose only, that no time in history will our government ever be allowed to demand that you think or believe in something, nor can they in any way keep you from saying and speaking what you believe. They cannot stop it. They cannot outlaw it. They cannot keep it from the public or private sphere. And yet we have a culture now that has completely changed that idea. They believe in what they would call freedom of worship. You'll hear this from all progressives. What it means is, as long as you keep your little faith to yourself and your little church and stay out of our way, you can do that. But that's not what the Founding Fathers gave us. They said you can not only speak from the rooftop, you can do it in a public park with a nativity scene if you want. That's called states' rights. And so that and being said, James Kennedy was very much about that understanding. What did the Founding Fathers actually mean? What kind of rights did they actually give us? What kind of freedoms did they want us to participate in? What does it mean to have liberty? What does it mean to not have liberty as we watch the Ukraine unfold and Venezuela unfold? This is real. This is what really happens when people are led by tyrants and when evil triumphs over good and when truth is trumped by a new ideology known as political correctness, a Marxist philosophy that's designed to destroy Christianity so that they can reframe it into their own words and image. It's evil and it's cancerous and it's very much now the leading ideology of America.
Wow.
Now, I'm going to continue to fight against it, as your late pastor did, until I'm either bankrupt from the IRS audit or I'm killed by some operative that doesn't like what I have to say. Remember, all truth tellers will be killed. Or God intervenes and gives us a third great awakening. Mm. Some kind of beautiful and amazing idea comes to this nation that we can return to our roots. And that's how I'm going to fight. I'm going to go down swinging. But you know what I do? I do it with words. I do it with this beautiful freedom that God gave to us by those who first founded this nation, of words and rhetoric and communication and speaking into the very media that now controls the narrative for what is moral in America. That's what my comedy does. That's what this movie, Persecuted, is about. It's about government overreach and destroying a pastor's life because he will not compromise his faith. You know, I'm at the forefront as a comic for religious liberties in America. The ACLJ with Jay Sekulow is on board with our film because of that very reason. So this is the kind of thing I'm doing. I know that to your listeners right now, it doesn't sound funny. What happened to the funny guy that had the kayak coming from Bangkok?
Yeah.
Where'd he go? Well, I'm right here. But what I am trying to say to you is that for us to have a fundraiser for this Grayson radio is more than just, gee, can we keep this on the air because we like the programming? How about, can we keep this on the air because it's still legal? This is what's at stake in America. It is bigger and grander and more precarious than perhaps since the Revolutionary War or Civil War. That's how deeply important this is, that these messages are spoken of, and they're spoken of through radio, television, and, of course, the Internet now. So I don't want to be a downer. to our big comedy Laugh Fest here that we're speaking of.
Your Laugh Fest tomorrow will be indeed a Laugh Fest, but it's true, at the end of the day, just like John Adams said, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people.
It is wholly inadequate
to the government of any other. Brad Stein, thanks so much for being with us. Christine Snerger, thanks so much for being with us. And this is Jerry Newcomb. We've got to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk with Wesley J. Smith. What does it mean to be human and the threats against humans and actually putting animal rights above human rights? Amazing stuff.
I wish I was in on that one.
All right. God bless you.
Well, see you tomorrow.
GraceNetRadio.com. All right. Thanks, brother. All right. Bye-bye.
If you'd like to collaborate with strategic partners, develop leadership potential within yourself and others, create biblical resolutions to local and global business challenges, TIU Florida's MBA program can train you to be a 21st century business leader who can understand the marketplace as a mission field. Visit TIU Florida's campus and see for yourself how you can be a leader in your world. Trinity International University educates men and women to engage in God's redemptive work in the world by cultivating academic excellence and Christian faithfulness, and can be reached at 855-TIU-4MBA.
This is Mike Schloman from Mike at the Mike in the Morning. I would love it if you would follow us on Facebook. You can find us by going to our website and then follow along. Spread the word. Use the at symbol in front of our name when you post on your own wall. And let other people know about GraceNetRadio.com.
Now, back to Vocal Point with your host, Jerry Newcomb, on GraceNetRadio.com.
Yeah, well. All right, we are back on the radio here, and we are trying to reach our next guest, who is Wesley J. Smith. But, Christine, since you're here right now in the studio, why don't you talk a little bit more about tomorrow night and let people know. By the way, do you have to pay to get in? Or
yes, you do have to buy tickets.
But
you can buy them in advance.
But the goal of that is to, you know, I mean, that's how money is raised for the...
Sure. I mean, you're supporting a wonderful cause.
Forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
It is a great cause. I mean, in fact, Christian radio has profoundly impacted my life, honestly, Jerry.
Really?
Yes, because I was... this. You know, this goes back to my last... lesbian relationship, and I heard...
Hold on for one sec. Let me leave you this message. This is for Wesley J. Smith. Wesley, please call us at the radio station, 954-776-7705. We have an interview scheduled to talk about your new book. Thank you so much. This is Jerry Newcomb. Bye-bye now. By the way, I was actually at that gentleman's home.
Mm-hmm.
He lives in Oakland, California. I was in his home about 10 years ago. For a Coral Ridge Ministries television interview. Now we've changed our name to Truth in Action Ministries. But he is so cool. He is a Discovery Institute fellow, and he especially focuses on human rights issues, human life issues. You know, like and he's really good on stem cells and things like that. And the important point there's a lot of confusion about stem cells. Here's the important point. Embryonic stem cells, killing that involves destruction of at least potential life, you could say. But adult stem cells is fine, and that's where all the cures are anyway. So the secular media gets that one wrong virtually every time. I don't know if you know it, but this is a different issue related to euthanasia.
Sure.
In Switzerland, they're now having clinics where people can, like tourists, they can go in, pay a big fee, and get put to death. In Belgium, just in the last couple of days, the king signed the legislation agreeing to the euthanization of children in Belgium. In the Netherlands, there was a point in the 1990s where their active programmization, of actually putting people to death, initially it was voluntary, and then the tipping point came where people were involuntarily put to death. We needed the extra hospital bed. I mean, it's an unbelievable thing that's happening. And in some places, animal rights are superseding human rights, even though God made human beings in his image. So I think it's important to recognize these kinds of things. Wesley Smith is just so good about all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and God gave us dominion. Said, take dominion over the animals.
Exactly. You know, there's in a very real way, so much of the stuff, it boils down to kind of like worldviews in conflicts. I mean, even with the example of, you know, like your issue, which is the gay issue, do you find that in a sense the, you know, most of the non-believers essentially have bought into the idea of evolution? Well, we've just evolved, and, you know, some people are this way and some people are that way. If you're born gay, you're always that way, you know, as opposed to it's something, you know, that you pick up, you know, learn traits. By the way, we're trying to reach Wesley Smith again here.
Well, I mean, I think that most people believe, yes, that it's genetic. They believe that. I'm not saying that it is. I believe that's propaganda. I believe it's not genetic.
Hi, is this Wesley J. Smith?
Yeah, you've called the wrong number.
Oh, okay. I called the other number, and it just leaves a voicemail.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was calling you back as you tried to reach me.
Oh, yeah, okay.
510-882-8888.
Yeah, well, okay, we'll call it the 8605. All right, we got it. Thank you so much. Okay, that's very good. So our next guest will be coming up in just a second. Christine, why don't you say something about tomorrow night?
Hey, come on out. It's going to be a great time if you want to laugh and support a great cause. And Christian radio really hugely impacted me. It's where I heard about that there was people that helped people like me who had unwanted same-sex attractions. I learned that from Christian radio. And that started my journey out of homosexuality. Yeah, I heard Cy Rogers on the radio in 1989.
Wow.
And I wasn't a Christian at the time. I was in a relationship, and I wasn't looking for God. And so, and then I got saved months later as a result of playing softball with Baptists.
Yeah, in Tampa.
In Tampa, Florida, where I'm from.
I met the guy that was instrumental in your life. I stayed in their home, even.
Yes.
Like about
my
30 years ago.
My son's teacher, you met him.
I guess,
yes,
yeah.
Yes. Well, and so then when I got saved, then I heard Cy again. Because the first time I heard Cy Rogers on the radio, I was like, I don't like this guy. I don't want to hear this. Because, you know, when you're in sin and somebody's sharing truth, you don't want to hear it.
This was, in fact, Matt Barber made an interesting statement. He said, hate is truth to those who hate the truth. Isn't that? Truth is hate to those who hate the truth. Isn't that something? How is this not working that...
spiritual warfare.
Number. Is that what it is?
I think so.
Okay. Well, keep talking.
Okay.
Why
should
we go tomorrow night?
Yes. So you should go tomorrow night because I think, well, I talked earlier about being able to have good, clean fun, and not many opportunities like that. You could bring friends. Nobody's going to get defiled. And you're supporting a great cause. Like I said, Christian radio turned my life around because it exposed me to things that I didn't know even existed, that help for people like me existed. I did not know that, and I found out about that through Christian radio.
All right, very good. So do you think that the will there be a silent auction, too, like there was last time?
I haven't heard anything like that. I think it's just a comedy show. I'm opening, and then Brad's performing. And
suppose somebody's hearing it. They would like to go. How would they get more information?
They would go to gracenetradio.com, and they could go there and purchase tickets.
Okay, and the purchase of the tickets, look, it's all for fundraising. The goal is to pay for this. So instead of having the annual share-a-thon, did you ever come up to
I used to be on the share-a-thon. I loved it because I like to tell my story of how much Christian radio impacted my life. You know, so they always had me on, and it was a great time, and there's all volunteers.
Where did
phones.
You grow up?
I grew up in Tampa. I'm originally from there.
Oh.
Yes.
And you got involved in the lifestyle then?
Yeah, I was
Tampa.
When I was gay, I was in Tampa. Yes.
Yeah, and you got out of it
in Tampa
through that. Yeah.
Everything happened in Tampa, and then came here.
Is there anything that, you know, you and I have had some interesting discussions because I have a loved one of sorts in the wider family, wider family.
Not your, yeah.
That's homosexual. And I've tried to be, you know, Christian in how I deal with them, but without compromising anything. Is there anything you would have to say as far as the church? Maybe we need to be kinder to people without, you know, embracing the sin type of thing.
Well, and yeah, you're touching on a good point because that is, and that's like actually a saying we have in the church, love the sinner, hate the sin.
I've heard people hate that phrase.
Well, okay, but let me break it down for you to a gay person.
Okay.
Because it's gonna come across differently. Because the gay person, most of them have bought into the propaganda because they don't know anything else. They don't really know it's propaganda.
Yeah.
And so when I say I love you and I hate your sin, what I hear is, what that person hears is, I hate you. Because they haven't been able to disidentify with their sin. Like, their homosexuality is their identity. They don't see it as just a behavior. They see it as their identity. Like, I'm gay. That's what people say. And they take it on. And I mean, they make their whole world like about that. You know, you can have only.
It sort of defines their politics. But it defines
politics, you can,
their
you
religion.
Can,
it defines
you can do business with only gay establishments. I mean, now it's like you can make your whole world about that.
Yeah.
Easily.
That's certainly true down here in South Florida.
Yeah, and even in your theology, people have conformed their sexuality to their theology.
Yeah.
Not the other way around, where you're conforming your theology, like where that trumps your feelings. And that was in my case. I had homosexual feelings and attractions. I came into,
Did you have any kind of church background at all?
A little when I was younger, but it was...
Didn't mean much.
It was very confusing because my dad there was domestic violence between him and my mom. So he was an abusive man and he would drag us to church. And so he didn't live anything that made sense to me, that this guy beats his wife and he takes us to church. That didn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
So actually it was a turnoff to God, honestly, because I was like, if God condones this, and it was, you know, maltreatment of women, putting my mother down for years, and that's where I think some of my gender issues came from, is I saw women as weaker, I saw them as victims, I was a girl, I didn't want to identify with mom, I wanted to be strong and tough and nobody can hurt me. And so that's my gender stuff started at a really young age. Because of those things. It's not genetic. It's not some gene I picked up. You grow up in a home like that, you are going to be confused.
Yeah, sure.
About what it means to be a woman. What does femininity mean? Because to me, femininity equaled weakness. What are men about? And I didn't think they were safe. And so for me, and many of the women I've worked with who've come out of homosexuality, for them, you know, there's a couple things that can be working against us. And it's not like, it's not one size fits all. But, you know, one of the common themes, I had a breakdown in the relationship with a same-sex parent. I've seen that common on both sides, with guys or with girls.
So you had a breakdown with your mom?
Yes. Like, okay. It wasn't a great bond or connection there. And there were certain things you're supposed to get from that parent that I didn't get.
And in the meantime, you saw your dad putting down your mom,
yeah,
and beating your mom.
So there's gender confusion going on.
Yeah.
And then I was abused, so that doesn't help. Like, I was sexually abused by a relative, and, you know, so that didn't help. It didn't help my view of what it means to be a girl, because, again, I took it as, like, girls are victims.
This is amazing. And today you make comedy out of this?
I know. Can you? I mean, how does that happen?
I mean, where's the humor?
I know.
You know, it's funny. When you were describing that situation, you know, where the dad was abusing your mom and so forth, and so therefore you saw men in this negative way. I remember reading one time at a... you know, newspaper article or whatever about Ellen DeGeneres, and she was writing a book or something like that, and it was describing her life. And when it described, you know, how this man, major, major man in her life, and then this stepfather, you know, tried to abuse her as a teenager, and, you know, all these different things. And it was like, gee, no wonder this lady doesn't like men.
Trust me, yeah.
Because she's had such bad experiences.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's true, you know, if we put ourselves in other people's shoes, we might see things differently, you know. It's
there's a story there, you know, and
it's true. It's like the old saying, you know, if you have a disagreement with somebody, walk a mile in their shoes. That way, you're a mile ahead of them, and you've got their shoes. Yeah,
That's awesome.
No, so tomorrow night you're going to give comedy. Seems like there was something important though you were about to share.
I know.
And I cut you off.
Well, it's all right. I'm not upset. I'm just trying to figure out where we were, because I wanted to answer your question.
Yeah. Well, I mean, basically the question was, how did you end up, you know, coming to grips with Christ and getting changed and so forth?
Yeah, well, that's what I love about God, is he goes looking for lost sheep who don't even know to go looking for him. You asked me if I had a church background. I said, yeah, it was really confusing. It didn't help me to get to know God, because...
Now, let me ask you a question. Why is this number not working?
You spoke to a man a few minutes ago, so I don't understand. Was that the guy you were trying to reach?
Yes, yes.
And now he won't answer the phone?
Please call the number, if you would, back, Dr. Smith. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know why it's like that. I tell you what, if you want to, why don't you just keep talking?
I will.
And I will.
Okay, so I'll finish my story about, I was talking about some of the roots and causes for me of homosexuality, having a breakdown in the relationship with the same-sex parent, and then also having been sexually abused. But a third one is where I had lost my train of thought there. I'm going to get that back. There you go. When it goes by, it's like having a blonde moment right now. But, oh, I know what I was going to say, is that oftentimes lesbians are trying to protect against further hurt from a man. And that was true in my case. And so women become the only safe option in relationship. And so those factors conspired for me to develop a homosexual orientation. And again, I said it wasn't a one-size-fits-all approach, that it could be other factors for somebody else. But those are common themes that I see with men and women, actually, especially that breakdown in the relationship with the same-sex parent. And so these are things that contributed to that. And then God intervened in my life as a young adult. I was playing on a church softball team, and that through that experience, I was evangelized, ultimately, not immediately. It took some time. But these women were praying for me and loving me. And then I had a crisis of faith. Once I was evangelized, what am I going to do with my homosexuality? And that's when, you know, for me, theology trumped my feelings. And I chose to, you know, honor what the Bible said about homosexuality rather than try to reinterpret what the Bible said so that to accommodate my feelings. I did the opposite. And it's been a journey. And, you know, I joke about that. You know, it was awkward for quite a while, and there was a season where I wasn't really straight yet, and I wasn't still gay. I was stray. I was in that awkward in-between.
Well, thank you. I've been in an awkward in-between here.
Great segue. Nice.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, thank you. But finally figured out the problem here, and we'll be able to get our next guests on the line. But I want to thank you so much, Christine, for hanging around.
Oh, for sure,
and,
Jerry. Anytime.
We will enjoy hearing you tomorrow night.
Absolutely.
And make sure you go on graysnetradio.com and buy your tickets to hear Brad Sine and Christine Snieringer.